Blog Talk Radio. Law of Attraction Talk Radio has been pre-recorded. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Julie Johnson, your host for this wonderful information tonight that we're going to give you. I'm so excited to have with us New York Times number one bestseller author, Debbie Ford. I am sure that many of you know her from her books and appearances on Oprah and Good Morning America. And now Debbie is also the expert coach on ABC's new Ex-Wives Club series. So this is very exciting. There's a reason why Debbie Ford has sold so many books and lectures to crowds as large as 7,000 people. So find out why when we return right after these messages.
A rather unusual interview. A skeptical UK radio host challenged a US spiritual author who claimed to be communicating with his spirit guides to let him interview them. And he did. Hear high, positive, and joyful perspectives on life. Have your personal questions answered. And hear the Interview with Spirit show with UK radio host Neil Long, U.S. spiritual author Ken McLean, and resident angel card reader Amanda Goldston. Go see now on www.interviewwithspirit.com. That's interviewwithspirit.com.
Have you ever said to yourself, "Oof, I want to quit smoking"? Well, now you can easily and effectively through hypnosis in just 1 hour. Go to www.iwanttoquitsmoking.com for a free referral to one of the many pre-qualified hypnotherapists in your area. They can release you from all costs of smoking. Just remember, iwanttoquitsmoking.com. 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 Visit today.
Mystic Pop Magazine has gone green. Now you get the same quality magazine only online. With lots of new features for subscribers like free downloadable radio interviews, lectures, music, and a new audio version. Read exclusive articles by Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey, Doreen Virtue, Glenys McCanns, and many more of your favorites. Now available anywhere on the planet. MysticPopMagazine.com.
Well, we are back, and I don't want to waste another second, so let me introduce to all of the Law of Attraction Talk Radio listeners, Debbie Ford. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And I don't want to waste another second here. We have so many things to cover. Can we start off with your shadow process? You know, you're really known for it, and you speak about it all the time, and you have a book that's called The Secret of the Shadow. Now, this is to let everybody know about how they need to get in touch with their dark side. Could you explain just a little bit about this?
Everybody always says that, but, you know, we don't have to do much to get in touch with our own dark side, right? I mean, if we're all honest, you know, it doesn't take much. Somebody cuts us off, our partner doesn't respond the way we want, you know, somebody looks at us the wrong way. So when I talk about the shadow, I'm talking about all the rejected and disowned aspects of ourselves that happens naturally as we grow up. I mean, it can't help but happen. You know, I'll give you a little example.
Okay.
You hear your mother when you're young saying, "Oh, so-and-so, don't act so stupid." So you make a decision. Stupid people are no good.
Right.
You do something stupid, and you decide, "Oh, I'm no good. I just did something that was stupid." You know, don't be mean, your mother says or your father says. Nobody likes a mean person, or you're going to go to your room. So what do? What's natural for a child? You try to hide and reject the mean part of you. So my work is about reclaiming all aspects of oneself, both light and dark, so that we can emerge and really live our highest potential until we reclaim all of who we are, even our light, because people were told, don't be too great, don't be too perfect, don't be too smart, you know, don't show anybody your grades, don't brag. You know, people don't like people that are that talented. And so we suppress our light as well. And so it is the most vital process. I believe it's the core of the spiritual work that we're here to do.
So you're basically saying you can't progress unless you really know every aspect of what makes you you.
Yeah, well, I think you can. I really want to address that. I think you can progress inside of your ego structure. Mm-hmm. Because our ego structure is always trying to get us to be a better form of who we are.
Right.
So that we will fit in, or so that we can get some goodies, or we can get a better job, or we can produce some result. But I think spiritually, which I think ultimately probably most of your listeners, certainly all of mine, are wanting to live better lives. They're trying to live fuller lives.
Right.
They want to make a contribution. They don't want to die knowing that they only lived half their potential. So I think to evolve our souls, that is a spiritual process, and it's a process of reclaiming all of oneself, knowing that, you know, we are each every bit of everybody. You know, there's nothing that we can see in the outer world that we're not. And how do we learn to love the very flawed human parts of ourselves? And how do we learn to accept and embrace the divine holy parts of ourselves?
Hmm. Interesting.
It's an interesting thought, right? I mean, for myself,
it is.
I was part of the, you know, this phase of is going on right now with the kind of the pop psychology and the new age and just think a good thought and you're going to manifest. It's just true. And we have to, as teachers and authors, be responsible now for the information that's going out. It's true that there is a law of attraction working all the time, but unfortunately, it is based on our internal programming. So I use in my first book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, and of course, The Secret of the Shadow, are based on this notion that, you know, we are programmed inside in our subconscious minds, and we get programmed, and those experiences are there to lead us to the highest evolution. They're there so that we'll take back parts of ourselves, so that we'll learn, we'll grow, so that we'll gain wisdom from our wounds, that we extract the whatever the gold is there in the experiences of our lives so that we can then be a better contribution. And so inside of that, if you have all this unresolved garbage from your past, no matter how much denial you're in or how many affirmations you say, it's probably unlikely that you'll be able to manifest something. You know, it's the old putting ice cream on top of poop. You know, you've got to go in there. You know, it's like thinking, you know, in metaphoric terms, that we have a garden. You know, we have soil, and the soil is our consciousness. So if you've ever tried to plant something in dead soil, you put seeds in, nothing grows. You've got to fertilize that soil. You've got to take the old out, the weeds out, all the things that are stopping
Absolutely.
It from being. You have to till the soil, and that's what my work is about. It's about tilling the soil of your consciousness so that you can implant a powerful thought that will lead you to your soul's expression, not something that your ego wants to attain.
You know, I think you have hit the nail on the head, and I will be the first person to say there are a lot of law of attraction teachers out there who are just telling you that you gotta lift yourself up to a different level on the emotional scale, and that's where they stop. They don't say that you gotta really go back and explore why are you feeling that to be, and people are getting frustrated because that is really, really hard to be in a better place when you're feeling so down. And that really, they're not saying go back and look, why are you actually feeling like this? You know, examine that. So it's very, very positive that you're bringing this up.
Well, I've been bringing it up for 12 years, just so you know, and really pounding people with it because, I mean, I have 5 books. I have a teaching institute. I train coaches. I lead the shadow process every 5 weeks because I know that when people do this inner work, that and they fertilize their internal soil, that amazing things happen, not because they create them, because that's another illusion. We don't create. It's all there. We allow. And this whole kind of, that's only the ego wants to take credit. Well, I created that parking space, or I created that job, or I created this. Those are the words of the ego. Our soul isn't taking credit for anything. Our soul knows that there's different realities that exist every day for all of us. And depending on what level of consciousness we were in, we will be attracted to those different levels of reality. So as we clear things away, then more can be allowed into our lives, but not more of what we think we want, more of what is our highest soul's expression.
Ah, very good. Very good. That's great clarity for a lot of people listening out there. And something that they all have been needing to hear. So wonderful. Well, could you give us a couple of examples of people in the news who may not be incorporating their dark side with their... I can think of a couple right now.
Let's see. A lot of our political presidential candidates, we've got a few of those. We've got lots of young starlets. You know, it's just perfect. I mean, these are people like a Britney Spears or these other Paris Hilton types. I mean, they are exactly what my work is about, you know. And they are showing the extreme of self-sabotage, the extreme of wearing a mask, the extreme of being disconnected and, you know, going down the wrong path. But we all have it. Some of us have it with our diet, some of us with our health, some of us with our finances. But, you know,
Do you think we can identify, I mean, the reason why we watch these people so much is because we are, in one way, identifying with their dark side?
Well, we're obsessed with them because we get a release. When we see somebody else, and I just finished my 6th book, which is coming out in March, Why Good People Do Bad Things and How to Stop Being Your Own Worst Enemy, which is really about this. You know, we get this release. If I watch everybody else doing bad things, my own procrastination isn't so bad. My own self-sabotaging little behaviors, they're nothing, right? We get this internal release from watching because we're projecting all along. I mean, we're not only just projecting our darkness, though, we're also projecting our light on spiritual teachers, on Oprah, on other great people of our time where we're like, they're so fabulous. You know, this one's that and this one's that. No, you're that. You wouldn't be all charged up about it either way, positive or negative, if it wasn't you. So we want to learn from the outer world. The outer world is a place for us to identify where we have disowned parts of ourselves, where we're not accepting the greatness that we are and the ugliness that we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you asked that because, yes, we can look and whatever when we're pointing our one finger out, like they are stupid or they are absurd or they are, you know, and we have some energy, that all we have to do is look that we have one finger pointing out at them and 3 fingers pointing back at ourselves. That's the Buddhist trick. And then we say, okay, how am I that? How am I that hard-headed? Where won't I bottom out? Where won't I learn my lessons? Where it's not about them. You know, yes, it's sad that we have to watch this because the guilty seek punishment, and we all feel guilty about who we are and who we're not.
Yeah. And this all has to do with the ego, huh?
It all has to do with the ego, really. That's what I just wrote a book, just about that internal war between the human and the divine. And it's not about getting rid of your ego, because you have come in to be a human being and you can't get rid of that ego. It is about how can I love that ego, how can I learn from it, and how can I enroll my ego in living my highest path, my divine path. Because that's what's really interesting. When you're in alignment, your mind is quiet. There is peace inside. You're not trying to get rid of anything. You're just okay with who you are, the wholeness of you. And it is, you know, being a human is not a pretty picture, as you know.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's hard. But... so the ego is not a good or bad thing, but it's something that we need to learn how to use in order to let things happen.
Good language. We have to learn to use it, otherwise it uses us. When it's unconscious, when we're unconscious of how the ego really operates, it uses us. And see, one of the, I think, the greatest issues right now in the spiritual community is people are learning to spiritualize their egos, meaning it means that they intellectually understand the information that's being put out there by many of us, right? They know to actively be mean to somebody is not a good spiritual person, so they stop being mean on the outside. They start to talk in a softer tone. They tilt their head. They want to connect. They want to be present. They want to do, they're doing, but they don't feel it's still being done inside their ego. And how do you know you're doing that? When you think you're better than all the unconscious people of the world.
Ooh.
See, it's painful. I mean, it is painful to do the work I'm talking about, because spiritually, we know that we are all capable of the most heinous crimes, as well as the greatest acts of humanity. We are all of that. And so we never, when our ego is arrogant to think we could be better or more evolved from somebody, we have to start identifying, oh, that's just my ego. Now what my ego's doing is trying to become a spiritual ego. Then I'll feel better about myself. Instead of realizing that we have to, yes, do all that work inside of our ego structure, because I believe the ego is there to lead us into these different situations, oftentimes pain, oftentimes addiction, oftentimes struggle, oftentimes codependency, all these different things, so that we will finally crack open to the divine nature that we are. And what do you think the divine is saying about the ego? Is it saying get rid of it? I don't think
no.
so. No, it's
saying to accept it, right?
Yeah, it's your human self. Love it. Understand it. Know that it's insecure. I mean, it's so interesting because people are, what I try to show people, and it happens in the shadow process, which is what I'm known for, is that the first 2 days we are going in the dark. We're going in the darkness of the ego, the pain of the past, the regrets, the misery, all the stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then by Sunday, everybody has popped out, and they are standing in their most divine self, feeling quiet and peaceful and alive and passionate. Now, I tell them the problem is that they're all sitting there going, oh, my God, I'm scared I'm going to go backwards. Well,
yeah.
Who would say that? Again, you are going to go backwards. I mean, that because we're human and we're divine, and unless we're going to go meditate on top of a mountain somewhere and never interact with a human being, we're more than likely going to spend at least half of our time inside our ego structure. So how can we, instead of shunning it and making it wrong and making it bad, remember, anything that's wrong or bad is happening inside the ego.
Huh.
And yeah, and the ego is, you know what it's known in my business, we call it the trickster. Because you can think you're acting from your spiritual self and be completely acting from your ego.
Ooh, interesting. Well, how do you decipher which is the right way to go then?
I think, again, you know, the most powerful thing any of us can do is look each and every hour, each and every day, and see what's coming from the ego. This is what's coming from the ego. I got to have that. It shouldn't be like that. They should be like this. This is right. This is wrong. I'm better than. I'm higher than. Even I'm less than is just a drama of the ego. I'm no good. I don't deserve it. That's all ego.
And okay.
So,
This is so great. Okay, now let's put it in perspective for the Law of Attraction listeners, because we've all gotten here, and many of our listeners have come here through The Secret. And so they're seeing that the material things that they're wanting to create in their reality, then you're saying that it's really the ego. And how do we correlate the truth to with the Law of Attraction then?
See, the real Law of Attraction, the only thing any of us need to pray for is thy will be done. That's the only thing any of us need. Because if I'm living God's light and God's love, whatever that means for me, I will be led to the perfect opportunities to create a life beyond anything I can imagine. So even though in my work and coaching we have people identify things that they want and desire, it's only really a trick to get them to evolve their souls. Because the truth is that those things will never give you what you're seeking. So let me give you an example. Skim, tell me something that somebody might be wanting right now.
A car. A lot of people call it a car.
Okay, so we would ask them in my work, how will you feel when you get that car? Empowered, successful, good enough. We want to look for the feeling, because when we look for the feeling, we can actually identify what our soul is hungry for. See, our soul has no way to get us to evolve except having us have desires in the outer world. The problem is, it's not the actual thing in the outer world that we're seeking. It's the feeling, and this is what we have to listen to. It's the feeling we believe we will get when we manifest that.
Right. Right.
So if it is, see, there's this whole thing, well, you've got to feel it. Well, most people can't feel it. Why can't they feel it? Because they're not there, and it's not what their highest soul's desire is. See, most people are working on things that aren't going to get them what they need, you know? That's what we have to look at. What is it that our soul needs? Not is it what our ego needs. So I would give people this exercise to do. For the next 24 days, however you pray, I pray on my hands and knees, however you pray, it doesn't matter. Find a prayer. And pray, thy will be done. God, just show me the way. Divine, show me how to get there. Let me remove all my ego's wants and desires and show me, guide me, and give me the courage to take action after action. You know, I always say if I would have gotten the things my ego wanted, first of all, I would have stopped about 10 years ago, but I wouldn't be who I am today. And I'll give you an example. When I first got divorced, which was about 13 years ago, when I was praying and meditating, and why is this happening, and why? Because I swore I would never get divorced, and due to my children, what had been done to me, because my mother was divorced, I kept getting that I was going to write this book called Spiritual Divorce. Well, I have to tell you, that was the last thing I wanted to do in the middle of my divorce. I wanted to write How to Kill My Husband and Get Away with It. That was the only thing I wanted. And that's really the truth. But I kept praying every day, like, thy will be done. Show me the way. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I kept getting this message to do spiritual divorce. And Neil Donald Walsh came into town. He's a friend of mine. And we really looked, and he's like, oh, you got to write a book. But I wasn't ready to write spiritual divorce because I was too angry at my ex-husband at the time. But I realized that what I wanted to do was write so I could stay home with my then one-year-old son. Well, what kept coming to me was right in the process I was teaching people, which was I was doing at the Chopra Center, how to integrate and digest our unhealed emotions and all the parts of ourselves that we hate and dislike. and that I should write a book about the dark side. Well, again, I wanted to write Marianne Williamson's book, Return to Love. I didn't want to write dark side. I didn't want to be the queen of the dark side. I didn't want to be, you know, the queen of divorce. I wanted to be, write Return to Love. But I kept listening and trusting and only do it literally an hour at a time. Just show me your will. And little by little, I wrote The Dark Side, and The Dark Side Light Chasers came out a year later. Spiritual Divorce came out right after that. I got my Oprah shows not on Based on the Light, but really on The Dark Side Light Chasers and Spiritual Divorce. I got, even people used to ask me when I worked for Deepak Chopra, how did you get that job? Because there were so many people that were better educated and had so much more than I had. Uh-huh. But, and it was really because of the dark side, and it was trusting each step of the way. I built a huge coaching organization. I have to tell you, between me and you, I never wanted to have a business.
Really?
I wanted to be free. I'd had a business when I was young, but I kept getting, you need to train people in the work you're doing so that people can do it. And this summer, I was on a cruise with some of my coaches. I have coaches from 17 countries. And I thought 7 years later, thank God I listened. And so if we will get out of the way, which most people will never do, by the way, the ego is just too, that's why bottoming out is great. I always tell pot smokers, you know, you've got it the worst. Because, you know, people with just little issues usually don't bottom out. So we have to pray for that. We have to pray to reach our bottom so that we will listen to God rather than our ego.
Okay, there's no way that you can get to that place without bottoming out?
Yes, praying.
Okay.
Praying and doing it one step at a time. Really putting yourself in a community. I am a big person that doesn't believe any of us can do it alone. That's why 12-step programs have worked so well. That's why there many churches work very well in community groups. I mean, I have a whole coaching program and a community of, you know, thousands of people right now that are about to go through a 90-day course with me, which is free, by the way. So if anybody goes to debbieford.com, they can join in. But people can do things in groups that they can't do by themselves. So really to understand that, you know, if you can afford it, get a coach. If you can't afford it, find a community like mine or somebody else who trains coaches, who has a community, and put yourself in whatever, almost all of us have some kind of free structure to support people. Because alone, what are we going to do? The thing I love about 12-step programs is they say, your best thinking got you here. So if you're not where you are, stop listening to yourself. You know, I always tell people, why are you listening? You've been listening to yourself for 12 years. You're still losing those same 20 pounds. Go to OA. Go to Jenny Craig. Go to Weight Watchers. Go somewhere where people have been successful.
Yeah.
You know, our minds, all that chatter in the mind, by the way, all comes from the ego.
Well, so, and again, how do you know when you are getting the message from Spirit?
You are having the results you desire. You have results. You're unattached. There's no have to's, got to's, rushing. You know, all of that, manipulating, controlling, worrying. All that is a product of our ego structure. So that's, and most of us, by the way, including myself, will be working inside to heal our ego structure till the day we die. So let's surrender to it and understand it, and then keep allowing God or Spirit or love, whatever you want to call it, in.
Okay, so basically we are, again, I'm speaking of the law of attraction followers and practitioners. When we feel good, we feel like we're on the path. Is this not correct? I mean, when we feel good, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. When we feel bad, we're on the wrong course. Is this not correct?
Yeah, usually, although I want to have a couple of caveats here, okay?
Okay?
One is, when you change something, like let's say you've been in an addiction or a bad relationship or you eat sugar and you make a change, you're going to feel bad. There's no way you're going to feel good. So knowing that while we're in transition, we are going to be uncomfortable. when we're stretching, we're going to be uncomfortable. And many, many, many law of attraction people are committed to feeling good. That's
right.
Their underlying commitment. So feeling good for a law of attraction person may not be the best way to monitor it. So they might have to put themselves a goal, something that's a stretch, something that, you know, at the end of the year, they're going to feel really inspired and excited about themselves, because people are attracted to the law of attraction. I could identify their shadows, right?
Really?
These are the good people. Yeah, they don't want to be mean. They don't want to be bad. They don't want to suffer. They don't want to be uncomfortable. That's why they're studying the law of attraction. They want to attract. They want the ease. So we always pretty much study whatever, you know, our opposite is. Now, I'm the queen of the dark side, but ultimately my growth is embracing my light and my power all the time, because I'm comfortable in the dark. I like the dark.
Uh-huh.
So whatever we're drawn to, the opposite is our shadow, right? So
you're
a law of attraction person. Tell me what you like about the law of attraction. What do you like about the law, people that are teaching the law of attraction or studying the law of attraction?
They believe in the mirroring effect. What they put out, they're going to get back. They believe that they have to take responsibility.
What kind of people are they? Positive?
Oh, yeah. I would think exceptionally positive.
Okay,
and
good.
It's to the part where they don't even want to show the darkness, so the darkness won't come out at all. There's the conflict.
Right. I want to show you something, though. So you're saying they're exceptionally positive. So
I
what would be the opposite, the negative opposite of exceptionally positive? What kind of person would be the negative opposite?
A person who blames other people for their way that their actions and their thoughts.
So a victim?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do you feel about victims?
There are no such things. They don't exist.
See, you can't even acknowledge them. So
no, we can't. No, not a law of attraction, no.
Yeah, and so in my work, it would be that's exactly, if you could make peace, because you are a victim, we're all victims. We're all victimizers and we're all victors. But we're victims. There are people that are being molested right now, people that are going to go through diseases right now. There are, you know, to say we are everything, we are both dark and light, the saint and the sinner, the fearful and the courageous, the victim and the victimizer, or the victim and the victor. And that is just life, right? We wouldn't know light. We wouldn't even know daylight if we didn't know darkness. How could we?
Well, that's correct. In one sense, that we are the abuser, we are the all things, because we are all connected. You are me. I mean, we are the same person. We're in this scheme of life right now. So we're all connected. So in one way, yeah, I don't want to put that out, but I am a part of that through other people.
Yeah. So, but if you could make peace, or any law of attraction, not you, I'm not saying like you personally,
I know.
But if the law of attraction people could embrace their negativity, and they could embrace struggle and suffering and victim, because that is a reality of the world, that is just true. Again, if God created everything perfectly and we live in everything as it should be, then we need both the victimizer and the victim. We need that in order to grow and evolve. So if we're making it wrong, see, I know so many people, of course, they come to me after they're in a lot of pain, who are great teachers of the law of attraction. Even some of the people in The Secret are clients of mine. So it's because, you know, we all have darkness. We all have struggles. And our job, I would say, is to integrate the darkness, to bring our light to the dark, not to shame ourselves for it, not to reject it, not because the only thing we have to be fearful of is the rejection of something. I call it the beach ball effect. You know, I don't want to be dark. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to be blaming. I don't want to be all that. We're pushing all of that, those natural impulses beneath the surface of our consciousness, what's going to happen, the minute we don't have a positive thought, boom, bang, it's just going to come up and hit us in the face. That's what road rage is. That's why people, you know, we attract, we are going to attract different things in our lives no matter how many good thoughts we maintain.
It well, yeah.
It has been.
Everything.
Die.
Everything that happens to us, we're going to attract. We attract the mean person coming at us because that's what we are putting out to them. So we're attracting that.
Yeah,
we're attracting all the positive and we're attracting all the negative. We are truly responsible for what we're putting out to the world.
See,
in
I
every
would
aspect.
That. I wouldn't challenge
okay?
that. You're going to go to places where there are a bunch of killers. Now, you're going to say you're responsible for the way that they act towards you? They're, you
yeah.
have to put you in situations where everybody wants to rape you. You know, do you think that you're... That's what we're teaching that's got to be stopped. There's karma. There's things happening all around the world that we have no... We're just an individual. We can lead our highest life by digesting and integrating and embracing that. But we can't... If somebody's been abused, they can't or shouldn't take responsibility if they got raped. We can learn from that incident and see how we maybe could have protected ourselves or why we would need that situation in order to grow and evolve and work through something on the human level. But to say if somebody mean comes, it's because we're putting that out, I don't think that's true.
Well, I think it has to...
If you live in Katrina and the hurricane comes and wipes out your house, you created it.
Well, there also has to do with collective consciousness, which we're really into on the show, is collective consciousness and how the masses think about something. For example, the school shootings or whatever, they are brought by not one individual who's getting shot, but the negative vibrations of everybody who's thinking fear about that about any kind of situation, the mass consciousness. So in that respect, with the law of attraction, it's not just us, but it's everybody because we're all interconnected.
Yeah, that's good to know because a lot of people, I mean, I see tens of thousands of them every year that are walking in blaming themselves because their father raped them or their husband cheated on them or this or that. And, you know, we have to stop. That is abuse. Telling somebody that it's their fault when somebody abuses them is abusive, and we need to stop doing that and to really have compassion that this is just part of human life, that our souls are going to go through different experiences. Some of them we signed on for that, you know, we may not remember. It could be last lifetime's karma, wherever it comes from, and to really know that we can be responsible for how we digest that incident, I believe, and what we do with that incident, whether we allow that incident to beat us up and take us down, or we use it as fuel to live an extraordinary life and be a more contributing member.
Oh, yeah, and that's what the whole goal is. Yeah, make that. Everything that happens to you is happening for a reason, and it's perfect at that time. No matter if you, just like you're saying, you know, the addiction, you're hitting rock bottom, whatever it is, it's meant to be right now so that you can grow from it. So we're on the same path. We're on the same page here, and we're saying the same thing, I think.
Okay.
Does that... I have that wrong?
No. I think it is. I just think there's a piece that I can provide for people who aren't getting the results they desire.
Boy, I agree with you there.
I really know that there are some things you have no control over in this lifetime. And the only control we ultimately have is to learn to love ourselves through good times and bad, to be gentle with ourselves through good times and bad, to be open, to keep evolving and seeing how we can grow, what we need to embrace, what we need to integrate, and to stop you know, taking responsibility that isn't ours. I mean, it is true we are responsible for everything, and then in the other sense, we're not responsible for anything. I mean, there's so many ambiguities and so many polarities that are intricate. So any one spiritual law needs to be understood at every single level, right? At a psychological level and a spiritual level and an emotional level. And ultimately, you know, we're, most of us are wounded 3-, 4-, 7-year-olds that keep needing more love.
Oh, I agree. And you know what? When I read your book, Spiritual Divorce, I thought it was fabulous. And even though I'm not married, I've been divorced. And I could see through that, that all of that, all the problems in that marriage, it was about me and how I was projecting my desires off on him that he could not fulfill me because I had to. So I thought that was an outstanding point. But even more so, you have the 7 universal laws in there that I thought were just incredible. Can we mention those at all right now?
I would love to because I think in what you're talking about in this whole big piece, they're really imperative. So the first law is, of course, acceptance. That until we accept where we are in this moment, we can't allow things to change. And acceptance isn't that place where we actually have to embrace it or like it, but just to know what's truth without the drama, without the trauma, without the story, without making it all good or all bad. Just this is what is going on in my life. I'm 40 pounds overweight. My husband just left me. I don't feel good. I don't have enough money. I have all these ego wants and needs that I can't fulfill. You know, just really getting so with what's going on. So that's the first law. And the second law is surrender. And surrender is really, everybody's heard these laws. Surrender is that, you know, if we are going in the same direction as the river, life is going to be such a better ride. And there's so many people, the road is going one way, and this is one of my issues about, you know, people just trying to think positive thoughts. They're in the middle of trauma, their life is going down, people are leaving them, they're losing their money, and they're just like, oh, it's all as God, it's all as it should be, instead of saying, wow, I've got to go down and see what's happening here. You know, knowing that, let me go down in this way. Let me let go of what I think should be, what I'm trying to make happen, because it's got to be like this, and let me go in the direction the universe is taking me. And I think that's probably so hard. It's so hard because most of us have so many mistrust issues. You know, they're not really trust issues. If you trust, it's not an issue. It's the mistrust that's the issue. So that's what we all can keep healing. And it's funny, I just led a course of 40 days and 40 nights, which was a very spiritual process that we took everybody through. And when I did this whole thing about not trusting God, and we did it as a deep inner process, the whole course broke open for 10 days. People couldn't believe how much they mistrusted God. They mistrusted the universe, even though a lot of them have been saying, I trust, I believe, going to church, praying, whatever they did spiritually. But when they allowed themselves to admit it, because I demanded that they look, we all have it. It's where do I have it? Then, wow, all of a sudden people started really shifting and opening up. So I think that's it. You know, that's what the law of surrender calls on us to do, to admit to where we have no faith, to admit where we're resigned, to admit where we don't trust anymore, and just because that's when healing can occur, when we admit the truth and go in the direction that our lives, you know, or the universe wants to take us. And, of course, the only way to get us to change paths is to knock us over the head 40 times. Because humans, you know, I'm going here, you know, I love this relationship, even though I'm miserable. I want to be married, and I want to be this, and I want to, you know, and we'll fight to hold on to something that doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the second spiritual law of divorce, which is really for heartache or anything. And then the third, of course, is the law of divine guidance, which is, you know, God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And I can swear to that one, boy. When I let go and I don't know and I just ask God to show me each and every day, it's amazing what occurs in my life. It's miraculous, really.
So God provides the opportunities. I mean, opportunities will come without you really doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, we have to take action, but that's also an opportunity because we know what kind of action to take. But, you know, it's like maybe it's going to bring somebody in that's a mentor. Maybe it's going to bring a teacher. Maybe it's going to bring you to your radio show where you're going to hear me or somebody else where something strikes a chord. Then when we have that impulse, it's our job to follow that impulse. Like, oh, wow, I'm interested in that. Not just to put it away, but to follow. That's why I call them evolutionary impulses, meaning that inside our souls are programmed to evolve. So we have the impulse, whether it's to set a boundary or get away from somebody or create something or go on a diet or, you know, learn a new skill. We have the impulse. It's our job to listen, and that's how divine guidance shows up. It's not that we don't do anything. We must take action. Maybe it's to say you're sorry. You know, maybe it's to, you know, ask some people for feedback or support. And by the way, anything that people hate to do, that's exactly what they need to do. So if somebody hates, I have people on the first day of the shadow process ask how many helpers I have, caregivers. Well, I would say 80% of the people that come to my courses are caregivers, supporters, helpers. And then I tell them, which of course I give them the opportunity to leave, that they can't do that for the next 3 days. I can't help anybody, even if they're falling apart and crying. Because those people, usually to get into balance, and that's all my work is ever about, coming into balance, is they need to be able to receive. That's how, when I can't receive, what's the greatest mask? I just become a giver. I just give. And it's really just to cover up that I can't receive. I won't allow others to give. I feel too vulnerable or too uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
So the same thing for people who are takers. Me, me, me. They're self-obsessed. They need to give. They need to practice giving. They need to practice not taking for a while. So the law of divine guidance is, you know, of course, my favorite. I love it because it calls on us to follow those impulses and allow God in where we haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the law of responsibility, which is what you were saying about, you know, we have to take responsibility for everything. Well, the problem, I think, is that most people don't understand. We have to take responsibility for what we see in another. We don't have to take responsibility for their actions.
Oh, wow.
And so if I'm seeing that somebody's hateful, I have to, if they're being hateful to me, I don't have to take responsibility for their hateful thing, but I do have to take responsibility that I have a hateful part of me and what we need to do to heal that.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
And it's a, you know, all these distinctions, as you know, when you get spiritually, it's hard to really learn all the nuances because your mind, which is, you know, existing inside your ego structure, thinks it knows. I know all about that. I've read that. I can I'm somebody who leads the shadow process, what, 5 or 7 times a year. I can promise you, every single time I lead it, I find something inside myself that changes my life. Some people say to me, I've come, I've done my work. I laugh because I do it all the time. I mean, we're always, we're either growing or we're dying. So
that's
if we're going to grow, there's always more to do. So
you're,
the law of responsibility has us take responsibility for what we see in the world and how we respond to what we see. Because I can say, oh, my God, that guy is a raving maniac, right? And I can say that without being affected. Or I can say, oh, my God, you know, got to get rid of them or they need help. You know, that's just some part of me that needs help. So Ken Wilber has the best distinction I've ever heard on this. He said when we are being informed by somebody's behavior, just receiving information, we probably aren't being responsible to that part of ourselves, knowing that we're capable of that, right? It's not a projection. But when we are affected either way, positively or negatively, we are projecting a disowned part of ourselves. And that's why one of the tricks, I'll do it quick, this is my quick trick, and we really just did it when I asked you what you see in the people attracted to the law of attraction, is that positive, you know, all of that. You know, if you look at what you love about yourself, whatever quality is that, if you had a hand in all your qualities, these would be, let's say, two you wouldn't want to hand in. You just ask yourself, what would be the negative opposite, and you will find some things that you have to be responsible for, some shadow qualities that you make wrong that you reject. And again, only the ego rejects, because God designed us so that we are the light in the dark, so that we have the totality. So, and our job is to find compassion for all of who we are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I believe that. And it's a never-ending process. We're always going to be learning this and more as we go each day of our lives. It's just fascinating.
It is.
And there was there.
It
really is. It's just mind-boggling. I love it. Wasn't there another law?
Yes, there's a couple more, and then there's the law of choice, which is the law of really seeing that that's what we have free will over. You know, we don't have free will over what's going to happen to us in this lifetime. Things are going to happen. People are going to die. People are going to get sick. We might get sick. We might lose our job. A company, you know, it's like saying, you know, Enron went down, it's my fault. Well, you know, yes, you're part of the collective, but personally, you are working for a company, and so then you get to choose, how am I going to interpret it when I lose all my money? How am I going to interpret it when my husband leaves me? How am I going to interpret it when something bad happens and I get sick? Do I want to interpret it in a way that makes me feel bad and disempowered, or do I want to interpret it in a way that's going to light me up? And so the exercise that I have in Spiritual Divorce that you could do with absolutely anything, you can take something that's making you feel bad, any area of your life, something about yourself, something about your ability to create, and write down the interpretation about that. This is happening because, or this happened because, and you just let yourself be straight, your darkest thought about it. And then you go, and this is the hard part, and that's why there's a whole chapter on it, is really going and figuring out, if I was going to reinterpret this one thing three different ways on the positive and three different ways on the negative, you write them out so that you can see. So, for example, I had a woman once, her husband left her for her babysitter. And she came, and of course she was devastated, and what she made it mean that she was old, ugly, and unlovable. Well, that's one interpretation. I asked her, how does that make you feel? You know, it makes her feel bad and horrible and blah, blah, blah. She's been in that. So I said, I want you to create another negative interpretation that's worse than that, right? Which is hard for people, but you want them to go to the extreme. And I think she came up with something like, my husband hated me so much because I'm such an evil person that he wanted to humiliate me and shame me so everybody in the town would hate me. And then I made her create another one. And the other one is, you know, that nobody ever loved her and she was the worst human being. And really three very, very negative. And then we started looking at what could be the positive interpretation of your husband leaving you for somebody else, you know. Well, it took her a long time, but she saw, well, that he loves me so much, and he knows that I could never be my greatest self staying with a schmuck like him. Well, that made her feel a lot better. And then I made her do another one and another one. And by the time somebody goes through that exercise, what happens is they get to see that ultimately none of them are true. And so we get to choose. Are we going to choose interpretations that lift us up and empower us, right? Somebody dies. Our husband dies. You could do it as, God hates me. I mean, there's a million interpretations you could use, right?
Right.
He didn't take care of me, whatever. Or you could, that the universe loves me so much, and now I'm going to be able to make a huge impact in the world. It doesn't matter. The truth is, none of them are true. And when we get that, we get to see the law of choice in action. And that will radically alter somebody's life. And usually when it's something, of course, nobody has to do it on the positive things. They only do it when they're having a negative interpretation. Usually we need help, you know, to really look and see maybe a good friend or a coach or that can help us really look and say, what could be the most outrageous? Like for me, anytime something negative happens, I figure, oh, my God, I've just made $10 million and got a new book. Now, even though it's not true, it makes me feel good. You know, I learn
absolutely.
And I move on, and then I write another book.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then the last law, well, two more, the law of forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, ultimately, that is all my work is about forgiving oneself, forgiving ourselves for the experiences that we have, forgiving ourselves for our flaws, for our dark thoughts, for our, you know, mistakes. I know I've done a lot of stupid things in my lifetime. I've had to forgive myself for them. And forgive ourselves for, I think, the hardest thing, for being human and being imperfect. And once we really forgive ourselves and we understand self-forgiveness, we automatically forgive other people because resentment and grudges is, as we all know, it's poison. So when you're loving yourself, do you want to hold on to poison?
No.
You know, will you swallow poison? No, when you're loving yourself, you want to, you know, give yourself nourishment, eat a grape, a cherry. You know, that's what you're doing when you're loving yourself. So my work is ultimately around self-forgiveness because I think even though we do have to forgive others, and I do a lot of that kind of work, ultimately for us to make peace with our humanity and our divinity, our light and our dark, we have to find self-forgiveness, and that's when our hearts open to everybody in the planet.
Mm.
You know, we have to forgive ourselves for having an ego. We have to forgive ourselves for making the ego wrong. We have to forgive ourselves for sitting on Jimmy, you know, when we were 12, or locking our sister in the closet, or, you know, I used to take my sister's clothes and sew them up and wear them, you know. And then she would always think she was gaining weight. She didn't know in my little sewing machine, you know, in my closet, I was showing up, or sewing up all her clothes to fit me. Yeah.
I love it.
We still laugh about that because she's always had an issue with her weight, which, of course, she blames me for. And I was always, she was so smart and beautiful, I always blamed her for my dumb issues. So, yeah. Now she's my agent, by the way, for the last 12 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we're quite a team. And I just read a story about her in my new book. She said, Debbie, that is not true. And I said, well, it's true for me. You know, I'm not talking about you because my experience growing up is she had everything and she was my big sister and everybody loved her and looked up to her and I was always kind of the, you know, scrawny little dumb rat around the house. Her interpretation is the exact opposite. Everybody wanted to be with Debbie. Everybody wanted to be cute little Debbie. So,
isn't that, yeah, that's how it goes in families. Yeah, what you think is exactly the opposite with the other person. It's so amazing.
It is. Now, every book I get that, I have to tell you. My brother will call me up. Why'd you write that? That's just not true, Debbie. Just shows how absurd we all are.
That's it. That's it right there.
We have to forgive ourselves for being absurd, for being a ridiculous human. Right?
Well, I love it.
We grow up in the same house. One experience can happen. We all interpret it in different ways. One of us will use it to have the greatest life. One of us will use it to have the worst life. Look at Oprah Winfrey was raped. She used it as, you know, a catalyst to, you know, be one of the richest women and most powerful women in the world. Somebody else is being raped. They're still whining about it for the last 25 years.
Right.
And that's what that law is about. It's really getting in there and really doing the work. You can't do it in your head either. People always say, oh, well, okay, I'll think about it. Don't think about it. Write it down and make them absurd. Both the light and the dark, make them absurd. See? Because then you'll just choose one and you'll say, oh, that makes me feel good.
I get it.
Yeah, I had somebody do something really awful to me at a time when I was doing more good in the world. And so, you know, my nature was to take total responsibility. But you know what? I realized after going back that this person had a history of abuse. Now, what I could take responsibility for is I was warned and I didn't listen. That's what I can take responsibility for. You know, but I don't need to take responsibility for what that person was doing. That behavior is unacceptable.
Good.
Do you see that? So it's...
Yeah.
Subtly, and letting us grow up, realizing that, you know, a lot of spiritual people use spiritual principles to beat themselves up.
Yeah.
And God forgives. God let go. We need to forgive and let go. In fact, in my new book, I put a whole section on forgiving God, because it's not just forgiving others, it's not just forgiving ourselves, but it's forgiving God as well.
Mm.
Because most of us are angry at God, as we should be. You know, I led a shadow process with Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God. I know you know him.
Oh, yeah.
Fabulous Neil. So we led a shadow process together years ago, and Neil loves to talk more than me, so he did most of the talking, and I led all the processes. So we were in a church, and in this, I do an anger release process in the shadow process that is probably the most powerful thing I do. So we decided that, I decided I would do it with just being angry at God. Now, these were all Neil's followers. And in about, we use really loud music, and the music, it's an Osho meditation. It's a very cathartic, powerful music. But in the first couple of minutes, the music went out. Well, I was horrified, like, oh, my God, how could that happen? But here's the cosmic part of it. It didn't matter. Nobody even knew that we didn't have any music because they were so angry and screaming so loud. Because all of us, when we were children, we felt like God deserted us, or we heard these things, like if we were good, God would be there. And we have these twisted understandings. And so to know that that's there, to be open to that, to not have to pretend like, oh, no, I love God. You know, if your faith isn't strong, it's because you're still carrying resentment.
And
to look at it, it's just part of being human again. And then the last law I know you'll love is the law of creation, which is, you know, what you teach. So then they come to you after me.
Oh, no, I don't teach. I just ask questions. I don't teach at all. No.
Really?
I don't. I'm not a teacher. I'm just a learner.
See, I would have you have to embrace teacher, because I think already you've taught just in our conversation. And
oh, my goodness.
Every day. So that's part of your light. So you have to say, Debbie, I am a teacher.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Come on, say it. I'm not hanging out.
I am a teacher, but
yeah,
I'm so inquisitive. I wanna learn more.
Yeah, but you're both the learner and the teacher. We can't really be a learner until, you know, because you're always passing on the information you learn, right?
Yeah, I try.
That's all a teacher is. Teachers
okay,
is somebody
good.
That passes on information.
Okay. I'll do that. I'm a filtering agent.
Exactly. And so that makes you a great teacher.
Okay. All right, I'm a teacher, Debbie.
I know. I already got that, but I'm glad you finally got it. See, and we just did my work because that is a piece of your light and your ownership, which allow you to go to your next place of power. And we all have to do that. You know, whenever we're attached to thinking we're one way, we need to get the opposite, whether it's positive or negative. So it's great to be a listener, but it's also great that you're a teacher. And I have learned just by being with you. So I appreciate that.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, thank you. Well, let's go on to this creation, though. I've got to hear what you're saying about it. What is this creation thing all about, then?
Well, I call it reinventing today, that it's really about reinventing our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that each of us has that ability. Sorry, my phone is doing something. excuse me, has that ability to recreate our lives over and over again. And I use in spiritual divorce the metaphor of the crab, you know, who drops its shell and then it regrows a new one. So I love the Charles Dubois quote that says, we must be willing to give up who we are for who we could become. And that's what creation is, giving up who you are. You can't become something else if you're not willing to give up who you are. And the great spiritual teacher Emmett Fox said, we must be willing to die daily. I love that.
Die daily.
So we can each day be rebirth as that new highest expression of ourselves. And we have that ability and capability as human beings to rebirth ourselves newly, to not know what we like and what we don't like, what we're good at, what we're not good at. Maybe you've been a learner all these years, but maybe it's time for the next 30 years for you to teach. Maybe I've been a teacher and it's time for me just to become a student. You know, if I'm attached to who I am, which only happens inside our ego structure, you know, we become attached, we don't want to be seen as something else, we don't allow real creation to work through us. It's nothing we have to do. It's a shift in our consciousness, allowing for new realities to emerge. And ultimately, I think that's what the law of attraction is saying. At the most spiritual level, it's opening up and allowing, and even the positive thought of there are new realities awaiting me, and just being willing to let them come.
Excellent. Well said. Very good.
Thank you.
Wow, that was good. I loved it. And that, you know what, I have about 20 other questions, but our time is all up. And wow, this has been wonderful. Debbie, you're just,
back.
You are fabulous. And for all of the listeners, you've got to go take her workshop and do that other workshop that you were just mentioning. They go to
Radical Reinvention. That is the process for 90 days. They can go to debbieford.com. It starts October 1st. It's free. The only thing you have to do is being willing to reinvent your life and get coached. And it's a weekly course. And I think there's going to be about 2,000 people in it. So
wow.
It works magically. All you need is a phone and your inbox, because we'll tell you what to do. And you listen to a call once a week and you take some radical action steps and allow for reinvention to occur before the end of the year. Instead of starting on January 1st, let's arrive somewhere great on January 1st.
Yeah, great idea. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to take that. I'm going to be on the phone. I'm going to hear it. I am going to clear it. It's just, wow, this is going to be great. And it's something I really need to do. And I urge all of the listeners, come on, we can look at the other side of us and get involved here with it and find another aspect. So this is wonderful. Debbie, I can't thank you enough. And yes, I want to have you back on, and you're fabulous. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Takes one to know one, Julie. Can't wait to see a Radical Reinvention.
Okay, and I've got all of your books posted and ready to go, so if you have any information, I mean, you can go to our website, but I also have it listed on my website. And for everybody and Debbie, thank you, and we will talk to you soon.
Great, thank you.
Good night.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.